this false narrative that is bombarding us, because the enemy knows that if he can just beat you to a pulp and discourage you, he knows that in that battlefield of your mind, that circus between your ears and my ears, that there's a war going on at this very moment, that the enemy is trying to get you to no longer look at Jesus, but look at your circumstances. And yet we know from the Word of God that there is true peace. There is true peace that can be found. The question is, where are you looking? That's the question. The question for your life today and my life today is simply this: where are you looking for your peace?
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. You know, one of the struggles that I hear often from people is that their circumstances are not giving them peace. You know, what is peace? So many people have a different definition for what peace is. Some look to having a certain house or driving a certain car or having a certain amount of money in the bank. But what is peace? Actually, the real question we need to ask is, what does the Bible say peace is? Let's take our Bibles together right now and let's turn to Isaiah chapter 26, looking at verse 3, as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, How Can I Have Peace?
So God, speak powerfully, speak mightily. Oh God, to you be the praise. God, to you be the glory. And we pray this in the mighty, in the matchless name of King Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 26 in the Old Testament there. Isaiah 26, going to read a few verses and then just camp out on one today that I pray will greatly encourage you. I want to send you forth today with great encouragement. I pray that your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit will be stiffened spiritually. I pray that you will leave here today with a renewed sense of purpose, a renewed sense of hope, a renewed sense of knowing that since my God is for me, who can be against me? A renewed sense of confidently knowing that greater is He that's within me than he that's in the world. So I pray today as we examine Isaiah 26, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, and then we'll focus on just one. Here's what it says in God's holy word. A song of salvation is the subtitle added in by the translators in chapter 26. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Verse 2, open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. Don't miss that verse. Verse 3, our key verse for today. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And lastly, verse 4, trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. And all God's people said,
amen.
This false narrative that is bombarding us because the enemy knows that if he can just beat you to a pulp and discourage you, he knows that in that battlefield of your mind, that circus between your ears and my ears, that there's a war going on at this very moment, that the enemy is trying to get you to no longer look at Jesus, but look at your circumstances. And yet we know from the Word of God that there is true peace. There is true peace that can be found. The question is, where are you looking? That's the question. The question for your life today and my life today is simply this: where are you looking for your peace? I was thinking through that thought and couldn't help but think of Judah in this text. And you see in Isaiah 24 and 25 leading up to it, it points to the day of the Messiah's ultimate triumph and the day when Messiah, King Jesus, is going to rule and reign. Amen? And what a day that's going to be. Let me give you some encouragement, though, on the front end. As we're waiting for His return, please understand this. Please do not misinterpret nor misunderstand this. We are not waiting for Jesus to become king. At least I'm not. I'm not waiting for Jesus to become king. I already know He is king. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The tomb is forever empty. I have been freed from the enemy of self and the bondage of sin. I've been taken from the power of darkness to the power of light. I was removed from the grip of Satan to the power of God. King Jesus did that work in my life. Amen? And here in this one verse, verse 3, I want us to examine just a key truth or two. But the reality is this, the title is just simply what I alluded to earlier. It's, how can I have peace? Maybe you're a believer today and you're still craving peace. Maybe you are not a believer in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ. That's the reality. My prayer is simply this, very simply. My prayer is before you leave the church house today that you will give your life to Jesus. It's going to be, listen to me, it's going to be the one decision that you will never forget and you will never regret. There's a whole bunch of other decisions we want to forget, amen? Guilty. There's a whole lot of decisions I regret. But giving my life to Jesus, no matter how difficult it is, that road is narrow and few will find it, but it leads to life. I'm telling you this as a personal example that even though the road is hard, I would never turn back nor trade it for anything. So here in this great verse 3 of Isaiah, it just simply says this: you will keep him in perfect peace. Not a trick question, but who is you in the text? Anyone know? Who's you? Me? You? Who's you? It's the Lord. See, everything starts with the Lord. Don't miss this. Everything in your life, everything you do, every place you go, everything you want to be, you're going to go here, you're going to do this, you're going to buy this, you're going to move here, you're going to move there. Everything you do in your life has to start with God. If you do not run it through the God filter on everything you do, at some point in the decision-making process, you're going to veer off an empty bridge. Everything starts with God. You say, preacher, where do you get that from? I get that from the good book, the Bible. Actually, it's not the good book. It's the only book. Amen? Because it says this in Genesis, in the beginning, God. See, everything starts with God. That's the plan. That's the plan for your life. The plan is that it would run through God first. God is not here to bless us with the American dream. That's not the overarching goal for your life and my life. Can you be blessed? Amen. God grants favor on certain people, and He blesses with great material possessions and great wealth and great health, and that's His business. That's what He does. He's got an assignment for each one of us. Don't worry about what the next person is doing. Don't look on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. All that stuff's a bunch of nonsense anyway, because typically it's a big lie, right? And we all go down to the beach, and we put on our white. We got the family reunion. People don't know that for the last 2 days, we've been wanting to kill each other, amen? And then all of a sudden, someone says, stand up together and say, cheese. We all smile. We all look at it. Now we're coveting. Now we're jealous. We have no idea the mess that's really going on, amen? It's called the highlight reel we send out, don't we? Now, just focus on the Lord. Just focus on the Lord. Don't look to your right. Don't look to your left. Just left front fender, right? Just left front fender. This is my assignment. This is what God's called me to do. The left front fender, left front fender. Just keep waxing that left front fender. Focus, focus, focus on what He's called you to do and stay in Him first in everything you do. And this is where you will land. You will land in the will of God. And when you land in the will of God, let me tell you this, there is nothing greater than landing in the will of God. People ask me all the time, how do you get contentment and peace and joy? Very simply, land in the will of God. If you're not peaceful, if you're not content, most likely you're not in the will of God. You, God, first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then all these things will be added unto you. Not second, not third, not tenth. Seek first. He wants our first in everything. And what He wants first is our lives. See, when He has our lives, everything else we just freely give Him. The reason we don't freely give God everything that we have or everything we do is because He doesn't have all of us. Man, when you give Him all of you, is it really that big a deal to give Him everything else? You, God, you will do what? Will keep Him. Make a note of this. This is very critical. This keeping in the Hebrew, it means this. To watch over and to protect with fidelity. You could even go a little deeper in the definition and say this, to preserve. So let's back up. Let's make sure we're tracking together. So first we start with God. You, God, and what's He going to do? He's going to watch over. He's going to watch over with fidelity. Do you guys know what fidelity is? Besides a mutual fund? Fidelity is, let me give you an illustration. So, if one of you dudes who are married, how many people are married? Raise your hand. Get those arms up high. Don't be embarrassed. There we go. Are you married? One of you dudes goes home today and you say, honey, I got great news. I got the most wonderful news. She's sitting there thinking, where are we going on vacation? She's like, oh, good grief, where are the roses? She's thinking, oh, we're moving to the gated community. He's like, no, it's better than that, honey. Sit down here and love this news. Sit down. She's like, well, what is it? Tell me what's going on in our world. You're never going to believe this, honey. I was 90% faithful to you today. That's going to be probably a rough supper. Could be your last supper, dude. You know what I mean? Aren't you glad that the Lord is faithful, that His fidelity, His faithfulness is 100%? The Word says that when we are faithless, He is still ever faithful. So the great news in this is that He's watching over you. If you right now, if you in the church house today have given your life to Jesus, again, not just raise a hand, say a hocus pocus prayer, get wet, do a cartwheel, jump out of the balcony, whatever they're asking you to do, and then your life is still living for the enemy. No, I'm talking about where you truly, where your life is now no longer your own. You didn't do a bunch of external, did all the rules and regulations, but you said, no, I'm giving my life to Christ. If that's you here today, and you truly know Him, and He knows you, well, that's the real question, isn't it? Not so much do you know Jesus, but does He know you? And he knows you today. Here's the glorious truth from God's word. The Lord himself, the creator of the universe, the one that said, let there be light. Here's what he's doing. He is watching over you. He's watching over you with fidelity, with faithfulness. He's not taking a break. He's not going out to play in recess. He's not taking a nap. He literally is watching over his children. What's great news, amen? It's like I read recently. The author was writing and they were talking about the lion. The lion. And I always think of King Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah. That he roars. The lion roars. That he's mighty to save, mighty to restore, mighty to redeem. And the lion, the way he's wired, that lion, he goes out and he goes on patrol. That's what he does. He goes on patrol and he's scouring the area for prey and predators that might hurt his family. Picture that, that he goes out proactively, not reactively, proactively, and he's scouring and he's looking for harmful things, harmful creatures that might hurt his family. Do you see this church family today? King Jesus, the Lion of Judah, he goes on patrol. He's out there fighting my battles. He's fighting your battles. The enemy right now is coming at you with great guns. And he's slinging his fiery darts. And the King Jesus himself says, no, 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 wait a minute. That's a child of mine. I'm going to protect them. I'm on patrol. I'm going to look after them with great fidelity, with great faithfulness. I don't know about you, but that encourages my heart. That's why key number one, write this down, key number one. I must moment by moment preach to myself. I must moment by moment preach to myself that the creator of the universe watches over me, period. Key number one, I must moment by moment preach to myself that the creator of the universe watches over you, me. You say, why do I got to write this down? Because the enemy's feeding you nonsense all day long. I don't know if you know this, but Satan has a gospel. Oh, he's got a gospel. If you're not in this every day, if you're not on your face every day, here's what's going to happen, and take this from personal experience. You'll start believing his gospel. And he'll make it and package it and put a bow on it so it looks so close to the real thing. But it's a false gospel. You got to preach this. I got to preach this to myself, not once a week on Sunday morning at 10:30. It's not going to work. There's 168 hours in the week. My mind is prone to wander. Man, I got to preach this to myself moment by moment, day by day. That in the midst of the trial, the midst of the difficulty, the God of the universe is watching over me with fidelity. I don't know about you, but that just gives me incredible confidence in the storms of life. But what is he going to do? He's going to keep you, keep him, keep her, keep them in what? Well, what's the verse say? In perfect what? Peace. I find this very interesting. By the power of the Holy Spirit, as Isaiah is writing, why didn't he just say peace? He will keep you in peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Because here's why. When you study this in the Hebrew, that phrase means shalom, shalom. Peace, peace. Now, for you Hebrew scholars, you know this, that repetition is very normal in the Hebrew. But I think it goes deeper. Because that word perfect is the connotation of completeness, See, it goes back to that illustration I gave earlier about being faithful. And you, dude, you go to your wife and you say, hey, you know, hey, I was 90% faithful to you today. I mean, 90%, that seems like a pretty good number in our world, doesn't it? Man, when I was in school, if I got a 90 on a test, I was doing cartwheels, amen? Well, that was awesome. Man, that was a praise the Lord moment. We knew there was a God if I got a 90 on a test, you know what I mean? And we were praising Jesus. That's not how God works, though. He's not 90% of anything. I mean, he's holy, 100%. That's just him. That's his nature. He's immutable. He's unchangeable. He can't be 99%. He's holy, 100%. And here we see here perfect peace. It's completeness. Perfect means this in the Hebrew. It means without blemish. It's flawless and it's faultless. Peace. What is peace? It's tranquility of your soul. It's where you're going through the struggle and you're like, God, I know you got this. What do you want me to focus on, Lord? You're going to handle this problem. What can I go now do for your glory? See, that's tranquility of the soul, isn't it? So think through this definition. Don't miss this. You, God, will keep, you will do what? You will guard with fidelity, you will preserve, you will watch over in utter faithfulness, and you will also then do this, you will keep in perfect, you will keep without blemish, it will be flawless, it will be faultless, in complete tranquility and contentment of the soul. Praise God, because He's the only one that can deliver that product. If you're looking anywhere else, if you're looking anywhere else to find that, you will continue to purchase the false narrative that's out there from the false gospel that will lead you to a cul-de-sac going nowhere forever. That's why key number two, write it down. Key number two. Perfect peace is only found through the Prince of Peace. Key number two, don't miss this. Perfect peace is only found through the Prince of Peace. If you're here today and you're like, yeah, you know what, Jesus is great, and yeah, you know, I raised a hand and said a prayer and did all the external, but the reality of my life is still my own, and I'm cool with that. You know what? God's okay. He forgives sinners. It's okay. I'm just going to live with one hand on Him and one hand on the world. Unfortunately, if that's you, you are living and believing a false gospel. Jesus is never okay with my sin. Does He forgive my sin? Amen. Is He okay with it? No. It got Him executed on a cruel Roman cross. He's not okay with it. See, Jesus, when you have a true encounter with Him, He doesn't leave you as the same as the way you were. He changes. He transforms. And that's why we got to understand that true peace. If you're craving it today, let me give you the cliff notes and the shortcut. If you're looking for true peace today, it's only found through the Prince of Peace, Jesus, and nothing or no one else. You won't find it. Think about Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I love that verse. Romans 5, verse 1. Such a glorious verse. It says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. So the sin bearer, Jesus Himself, He took your place and He provided the bridge to God. Think about this. The sin bearer, Jesus, He took your place and He provided the bridge. See, God's here and we're here. We're separated. And the sin bearer, Jesus Himself, the bridge, He made a way where there seemed to be no way. See, I'm over here, you're over here, and God's over here. And we're enemies of God. We're children of wrath. We're sons and daughters of rebellion. And yet by the bridge, the sin bearer Himself, here's what He did. He reconciled us to God. And now we're heirs to the throne. Now we're children of the King. We're now ambassadors for Him to go and make disciples. But that's only found through Jesus. So you got to remember that you can't have the peace of God unless you first have peace with God. So many people want peace with God. And maybe that's you here today. I'm hearing you. The Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. Praise Jesus. I want this peace with God. Well, the only way you're going to have it is that you got to give your life to Christ. He's the way. He's the door. There's no other loopholes. There's no side doors. It's just Jesus. And when you have the peace with Him, you will now have that peace that's of Him. You got to have the peace of God. But you first got to have the peace with Him. So key. If you're at war with God, you will never have perfect peace. That's why I write this down, Philippians 4, verse 7 through 8. Philippians 4, 7 through 8. You guys probably have this imprinted on your Q-tips at home. Philippians 4, 7 through 8. It says this, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving." Oh, I don't like that part. My flesh hates that. "Let your request be made known to God." And listen to what happens. I love this. This is the byproduct. "And the peace of God," here we go, "which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Did you catch this? See, so many times we are craving and hungering to have this peace of God, but we don't have peace with Him first. Well, right here, Paul tells the church in Philippi, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in your trials and all that you go through, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God," and here's the result, "and the peace of God." There it is. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.